time for Newsmakers with Brent DeHart and Dave Bourne. Presented by Les Schwab Tires. It's live, local talk that matters to you. Now, here's Brent and Dave.
Take forever to get to the chorus, but it's give me some water.
Give me some water.
Any money.
Good to see you for today. Welcome, everybody, to Newsmakers. This is Brent DeHart. I'm here with Dave Bourne, and we are with you weekdays at noon to talk about local institutions and individuals, local initiatives, local ideas. And we certainly have another individual here, another character in the studio with us today. Public Works Director, City of Salem. Speaking of the water theme on the music, right, Dave?
That's right.
So we have the Public Works Director, Peter Fernandez, and we were just talking about how long he's been with the city, 23 years.
Right? That's right, Brent.
Welcome, Peter.
Thank you.
It's great. There's so many things to talk about. The public needs to know everything that your department does and everything about it. So we're going to talk a little bit about the water that comes out of our tap when we turn it on. Right. We're gonna, and if you like, we can kind of circle back about what happened last summer and if it's going to happen next summer with the algae bloom.
Yeah, right? That'll be great.
What happens to the water when we flush, maybe? Roads, streets and bridges, parks. Your department does a huge amount of things, right?
Yeah, we do a lot. We're actually the largest department at the city of Salem. You know, Salem has about 1,200 employees, police, fire, planners, librarians. So we're 420 of that,
like a third of the city. Employees.
I'm sorry, a third of the employees and half of the budget. So our operating budget in total is about $100 million a year, and we manage anywhere between $80 and $120 million in capital construction.
Wow, how do you oversee all that?
Well, I have a lot of help.
Oh, so. There's more than you.
No, it's not. It's not just me. We have. I got a great management team, division managers that help look it over. And frankly, all of our staff is hardworking and dedicated to serving the community. So,
all right.
Lucky to have them.
Departments. Give us a rundown on the departments. How many are there? Or what are there? Some water, obviously.
Oh, and divisions in the our department, sure. So we have a planning and development division that does all of our utility planning and does the reviews for development. We have the wastewater treatment division. So there's 50 people that run the wastewater plant up here in Kaiser. We have the operations division. So everybody that goes out into the street is there. That's our biggest division, about 200 employees. We have the engineering division. So that's also about 50 people there providing engineering services for not just public works, but for the entire city. So the police facility is the police station is under construction. Our people are managing that.
Manage the project.
They'll manage the library reconstruction. They've managed fire station construction. So and then there's parks and pipes and streets and what have you. And then we got a lot of money to manage and a lot of support. So we have an administration division and those folks help me with keeping track of the money and the people and the paperwork.
It sounds like extraordinarily huge when you first say that, I've got 400 employees in our department, and then you start talking about all the different things it does for a city of this size, and like, you do that with just 400 people?
Yeah.
Right? Because you're maintaining the parks, right?
Yeah.
And you're treating the sewage, and you're doing all those things on the streets.
Yeah.
And wow. And your construction budget, I was noting before the show started, $88 million is construction budget. Is that like an annual thing?
Yeah,
I'm sure it must vary.
Yeah, that varies year to year. So the police station came up. So that was an instant $60 million infusion into the budget. And we'll spend that down over 2 or 3 years. The library bond passed. So that's, I think it's just under $20 million. So that's also an automatic infusion. But over time, every time we have a bond issue, the November 2008 bond issue for transportation was $100 million.
Yeah.
So we managed $100 million.
Streets and bridges.
Yeah. $100 million worth of projects successfully delivered for the city.
I got to throw this in here. This is a perfect segue for The city of Salem, be it the Streets and Bridges 2008, 2007, the fire bond, and so forth, as long as I have been paying attention, the city of Salem has a very good track record of being good stewards of the money.
Yes.
That's one of the reasons why I vote yes if it's the city of Salem for most all the time.
And we appreciate all the yes votes. So, thank you, Salem voters.
We don't always love what the government does with our money, right? And the listener doesn't either, and we get that. We don't love raising our taxes, but it gives me a sense of comfort and actually confidence that your department and the city in general, they're good stewards of our money. And we got a lot out of the 2008 bond measure for streets and bridges.
Yeah, we were fortunate with that the community supported that bond really in the throes of the recession.
Right.
And the community supported that. It was an owner's environment, and we were the owner. So we were going to do 42 projects, and we ended up doing something like 65 projects because we had the bids came in so low that we were able to do a lot more. And you got to remember, at the time, we did a $100 million bond issue, but we had identified over $300 million in transportation needs. So the needs in transportation are really endless. So we were able to do a lot of good for the community. And, you know, speaking of being good stewards, I think we are very good stewards as we're spending it. We are also very good stewards on how we borrow the money. Mm. So we work very hard. Our finance department works very hard to schedule the bond sales so that we don't just hit up the taxpayer, you know, the moment that that bond is passed. You know, we think about when we're going to borrow money, because that then shows up on your tax bill. So the November 2008 bond issue is an example. You know, we sold that in three sales over, you know, 3, 4, 5 years, so that we could sort of measure out, right, you know, what the you know, there's no need to have the money. The IRS doesn't like us having the money just sitting in the bank. So, you know, we're not really allowed to make money from bond issues.
And the taxpayer doesn't either. So we thank you for that. It's not like you went and borrowed $100 million and then the taxpayer has to pay the interest on $100 million, even if you're not going to spend it for another 5 years.
Right. So we think about
appreciate
that
carefully. Sensible. And one last thing on the borrowing, and I know that the borrowing cap that's self-imposed for the city of Salem, we're never anywhere close to it, right?
Right.
So
that's right.
Even though it seems like we're paying off a lot of things sometimes, be it for fire or police facility or streets and bridges, they are pretty good stewards and pretty responsible stewards in terms of debt.
We try and be careful. Now, of course, the property owner's tax bill includes the county, mm-hmm, the school district, the community college. There's a lot of governments. So we try and tell the story that, you know, we are, you know, this is the city's piece.
Yeah.
There are other pieces, and I'm by no means implying that other governments don't do a good job, but it's difficult to
yeah, you can't
tell that story.
You can't take credit or blame on how the school district money is managed.
For example.
Right?
For example. They're doing an excellent job.
$630 million, yeah, right, without building a new school. That is a lot of dough.
Yeah.
I was shocked, actually, that it passed, but it did. Community supported that. It's interesting. It's the same community that doesn't think we can build a $200 million bridge, but we can do $630 million of just maintenance on the schools without building a new school.
Right. Lots of interesting voting
pattern there. And actually, the only city one, I've seen a couple fail. There was a library. Actually, it wasn't a bond. It was a levy. Way back in the early 2000s, and the first police facility, of course, was turned down. All right, let's change the subject, because I want to talk about water. Because we all turn on our spigots, right, and water comes out in our bathtubs, and we water our yards and things like that, and we kind of take for granted that it's safe and there's plentiful.
Right.
And so right after the break, we're going to dive right into that, pun intended. We're talking to Peter Fernandez, the Public Works Director of the City of Salem, and we'll be right back. You're listening to 1430 KYKN, Salem's Listening.
Newsmakers continues with Brent DeHart and Dave Bourne on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
You can be sure that it's smoke coming out of your tap water. If there's smoke on the water, smoke coming out of your hose, you're going to be calling the City of Salem Public Works Department if you're in the City of Salem. We're here with Peter Fernandez. Welcome back to Newsmakers. Peter's the Public Works Director of the City of Salem. And they do a ton of stuff, but we're going to talk about water right now. Gosh, are there a few things? We talk about public safety, about being the number one goal of government, but how about, you know, keeping us healthy and, you know, the infrastructure? And I've even been willing to say that I don't mind paying my taxes for infrastructure. I like infrastructure. Water, sewer, roads, parks, all that
convenience.
Good stuff. Bridges.
And good.
Bridges that don't fall down.
Right.
All right. So the water comes from the mountain.
Yeah.
The snow melts, goes into the Detroit, grows some algae, comes down into San Diem, mm-hmm. intake valve, and then what happens?
Well, we treat our water. We at a place called Garin Island, outside of Staten. It's an island on the North San Diem River. That water is pure enough in its original state that we use slow sand filters to treat it. So that's basically 36 inches of very special sand, and the water itself, the organisms in the water, form a biologic layer on top called a Schmutzdecke.
Schmutzdecke.
Schmutzdecke. And so those bugs and then the sand polish the water for us. We add a little fluoride, a little chlorine, and a little soda ash and send it off. And that's all it takes to get the great tasting water that that we enjoy here at the City of Salem.
What does the soda ash do?
The soda ash raises the pH slightly, and that is a federal lead and copper rule that for houses that were built, the last time lead was used in plumbing was in the late mid to late 70s. So if our water is too acidic, it'll leach that. So we have to put in a little soda ash to raise the pH.
Okay.
Make it a little less acidic.
Yeah. The older neighborhoods, they might have some lead pipes. They might have.
That's all leached out. So it's only. So it's really only houses from the 70s.
Okay.
But if there's new lead solder, then we're being very careful.
Okay. So it's very drinkable, very tasty. We had the issue this summer, and I know, you know, we've talked about it on the radio, I'm sure. Everybody read about it. And is it going to happen next year?
It might.
And is there a long-term solution for it?
Well, there is no known solution to algae forming on the reservoir. I mean, that is the causes there is the water is warming. There's nutrients coming into the water. We presume that a lot of the nutrients are simply the ash from all the forest fires up on the San Diem Pass. There were some tremendous fires a few years ago. So that ash is full of nitrogen. And so there's food and there's warm water, so it creates the algae. Not all algae creates the toxin, so that depends. So the toxin will be in the – we're almost certain the toxin will be in the water this summer. The question is can we treat for it? We worked very hard at identifying a number of ways to treat for the toxin. In fact, we had a tremendous scare, but we only really had 2 days where we exceeded the minimum threshold for toxins. So we are running powdered activated carbon it's like your Brita, right. A gigantic Brita filter.
Okay.
Is what we're running before the water gets into our filters. We have also budgeted $50 million to in about 2 or 3 years installed an ozone contact chamber on the plant, and ozone will take care of everything. That's what Wilsonville uses to treat Willamette River water.
Oh.
And
it's in our hot tubs, right? Ozone filters and a hot tub.
It's a tremendous amount of money, but we just don't want to take the chance. So
$50 million.
So ultimately, it's a $50 million expense, and we will run the water through the ozone contact chamber first and then run it through the filters. And our consultants tell us that the water will actually taste even better once we do that.
If that's possible.
So,
right. All right. So who pays for that? How do we pay for that $50 million?
Sure. So we run an enterprise. So really, quote unquote, taxpayers don't pay for the water and sewer. Utility rate payers do. So of course, everybody's a taxpayer. So ultimately, everybody's a utility rate payer. But we run it like a utility business, like PGE, like Northwest Natural, like the garbage system. And we have zero support from property taxes, from actually any taxes, in the water, sewer, and storm utility. So we run it like a business. And it's a very big business.
Yeah.
55,000 accounts. We serve 220,000 people, because we also provide water to areas outside, well, all the metro area except for Kaiser right. that has its own water, but we provide sewerage for all of the metro
area. So that's another topic of interest to me and always kind of surprises me, and it surprises a lot of people. There's areas of East Salem on the other side of Lancaster, Jan Ray neighborhoods. What's the other neighborhood?
Four Corners.
Mm-hmm. They look like they're in the city of Salem. They consider their address as Salem, but they pay no Salem property tax, and they're not in the city of Salem.
Right.
But you supplied them water for another water rate agreement.
In fact, Jan Ray, which is the northern unincorporated area, it's served by the Jan Ray Water District, which is, that's right, the city of Salem.
Yeah. So,
and then the southern one, Four Corners, is served by suburban East Salem Water District, which is separate government. But we provide them all the water. So everybody inside of those areas are drinking Salem water. And then on the sewer side, they're served by the East Salem Service District, which is a county district. But Salem runs all that sewerage on contract for them. And, of course, we collect all that sewer and we treat all of it. So,
hence the business model, right?
Right.
So
right. They pay their bills.
That's a whole nother show, Dave, when we talk about the area between Lancaster and Cordon Road and the part that is not in the city. And eventually something's going to have to give, and it's going to be unpleasant. It's going to be an unpleasant fight in part of incorporation, and it's going to be, I don't know how.
Like their urban growth boundary expanding?
It's inside the urban growth boundary, and it's...
They got to get inside it, right?
They are.
They are inside
the AGB. And,
how come they're not in the city limits?
They're not in the city limits.
There's a whole history to that actually the city of Salem caused it, but we can save that.
Okay.
I'd love to come back and talk about that.
Okay.
All right, so that's how the water gets here. Let's go back in time. we were trying to increase and build capacity. You told me before the show, 72-inch pipe to build capacity for the city of Salem and all its industrial uses, which it's heavy in terms of agricultural and food processing and what have you. And we're well on our way, and we got stopped. You want to fill us in there?
Yeah. So I wanted to throw a shout out to the director that hired me back in 1995, Frank Malden. And Frank loved the utility and really worked very hard to modernize the utility. And a lot of the work that he did, that he championed, was making improvements at the water treatment plant, expanding capacity at the mm-hmm. water treatment plant. And one of those plans was to install a 72-inch water line that would run from the plant to Franson Reservoir in Turner, where all of our water goes.
We didn't connect that because we're in Jaron Island. And it's treated, and it goes to Franson Reservoir, all of it.
Right. All of it goes to Franson, and then into the city.
Okay.
So we have two pipes, a 36-inch and a 54-inch, that were built in the 30s and the 50s. And those are the pipes that we use. Frank's idea was that we wanted to make sure that we could treat all of the water. You know, we own 148 million gallons a day of the river's flow. We only use about 50 million of it. So he wanted to expand to make sure that, you know, it's secure. The term was we wanted to secure the city's water future. And unfortunately, we had to get some federal environmental permits, and the National Marine Fisheries Service basically stopped us in our tracks and said that they would only allow us to put in the pipe if we limited our take in the water in the river to 50 million gallons. And we said, well, we just can't do that.
Wow.
We
thank you, federal government.
The people of Salem would be very thirsty.
So that's called perfecting your water rights, right? Isn't that a technical term?
So our water rights are all perfected.
Okay.
So we have proven that we can take all of it out, but we can only deliver about 60 million gallons. So we can treat 148, but we can only deliver 60 million gallons a day.
Because they won't let us put the pipe in.
Right. Now, fortunately, it's a phenomenon throughout the United States of America. Americans are using less water per capita. And there was a time in the late 90s, early 2000s, where we hit a 63 million gallon day. And over the last 10 years, 11 years, we barely hit a 50 million gallon day. So,
wow.
So good for the environment. Good for our capital program, not so good for business. We're in the business of selling water.
It's kind of like the utilities, and they knew. You always wonder why the PGE, Pacific Power, advertise and encourage us to save energy when we're in the business of selling it.
Yeah, when they're selling it, right?
Right. It's expensive to build a new plant.
It is very expensive to increase capacity. So, that's really interesting. So they're using less water, probably different, you know, smarter landscaping or smarter watering.
Yeah, low flow fixtures, less watering, just an awareness, and that's happening all over the country. So, so it's really a good thing generally. But it's a balancing act for us because we got bills to pay.
All right. We're going to keep talking about water until the break, and then we'll go to the other side of some of the other departments. But it sounds tenuous. I mean, I find this true in a lot of things in life that people are blissfully unaware. If something happens in that distribution line, we don't have any water. Nothing happens when you turn on the spigot.
Right?
If there's a problem at Jaron Island, it's a problem at Franzen Reservoir. If there is, I don't know. I don't know what terrorists would want Franzen Reservoir, whatever it is, there's one line that gets there.
Yeah, so there's two lines.
Two lines get there, but one source. It's not like we can pull it out of the Willamette on a switch.
And we have been working hard on that. We recognize that is, in essence, a single point of failure. And so we're working on developing some groundwater wells. We have some groundwater rights as well. So we're working to develop those, but they will not generate the amount of water. You know, they won't generate 60 million gallons of water a day like Jaron Island can. We do own water rights on the Willamette, but that would require building a whole new
treatment plant.
So it's something that we are, you know, commiserating on, but that's a whole other work that has to be done.
When we come back, we have a caller.
Okay.
Has a question about the sewer. We're going to transition to that, right?
Yes.
Sewer?
Oh, that'd be
okay.
Great.
Okay.
All right. In the studio with us today is Peter Fernandez, Public Works Director of the City of Salem. Been there forever and a day and knows everything about it. So you're listening to Brent DeHart and Dave Bourne on Newsmakers 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
This is Newsmakers with Brent and Dave on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
Inflatable pool full of dad's hot air. Well, I was 3 years old, splashing everywhere, and so began my love affair with water.
Welcome back to Newsmakers. Thank you for that, Dave. With Brent DeHart and Dave Powers.
How did Dave find the Public Works theme song?
Right? Brad Paisley. He knows it.
It's always great stuff in country music. We got to do country music themes more often. All right, you're with Brent and Dave here on Newsmakers, KYKN, weekdays at noon, talking about local issues and topics of interest and affect your quality of life. In fact, to your pocketbook and everything else. We got a caller on for our Public Works Director, Peter Fernandez. You want to take a call, Peter?
I do.
We got a question from the public. Here we go.
Yeah, hi. My name's John.
Hi, John.
Northeast Salem. Can you hear me okay?
Yeah, loud and clear.
Yeah, appreciate Peter coming on. We got a situation a few years ago. It cost us $10,000 to do a sewer repair. The point of connection was a sheared, had cameras go down, and it was a big deal. We had to tear up the road, hire flaggers, all the equipment went 20 feet down the road, and the connection was on the other side of the street. And so we were told not at the point where the property ends is our responsibility, but the point of connection. So we had to foot the bill for all that, got a contractor come out, paid the $10,000, said, well, I'm not making any money on this. So big expense, all hard place. Insurance wouldn't contribute, pay for it because it wasn't on the property. So then I called the city. Said, "Well, that's okay. We'll put a lien on your house when you sell it." So it doesn't seem right, and I'm not sure owners are aware of this situation. And I mean, nothing we can do about it now. But I think it's something that needs to be addressed. Because the owner's going to be stuck with it, as we were.
That's true of all of us, Peter?
Yeah. No, I appreciate the call, and that's true. The property owner is responsible for the lateral, all the way to the pipe. And unfortunately, it sounds
across the road.
Yeah, unfortunately, in your situation, it sounds like that the pipe was on the other side of the road, so it got even more expensive for you. And I'm sorry to hear that, but it's true. The owners are responsible for their on the water side as well. The city is responsible to the meter, and the city owns the meter. And then from the meter to your house, that service line is your responsibility. And the same thing with sewer laterals coming out. And it can get expensive when there's a failure. Over the years, we have had programs where we would do no interest loans to help pay for laterals, to address things like inflow and infiltration, I&I. Is the acronym, but those programs went away when the recession hit and we found ourselves in some financial difficulties. The utility did, so it is a tough nut when that happens.
Is it unusual for it to go that far as the lateral? That's the part that goes from the house to the pipe that actually carries the sewage, right?
Right. So
is that unusual? Is it usually on the sidewalk?
It's usually sewers usually in the middle of the street. So but there's always some weird thing that happened in some development that the pipe ended up, on one side of the street or the other.
Thank you for your call.
How do we go changing this policy to make it at owner's responsibility and at owner's property?
Yeah,
changing that.
Yeah, that's a great question. It's really, we run a business. It's a business that's paid for by the ratepayers. So the city council would need to make a deliberate decision that where the utility's responsibility would be, and then that would require rate increases fund that piece of it. And it's really just a policy decision and a monetary decision as to where the utility is going to pay.
So if you're in the city of Salem, you can talk to your counselor if you want to see that kind of thing happen. Fortunately for Peter,
just one other comment.
Okay.
Or have a stipulation that homeowners insurance must pay for that. Just say, we can't do that. It's not on the property. So something like that.
There is there is sewer lateral insurance, and from time to time, providers send out notices, and those are bona fide companies. Some are better than others. There's a few of them out there, and there is so you can buy that kind of insurance, and then they'll pay for the whole thing. You
That's
just
one
have
of
to
those
make
many
a,
riders
a decision
that you can get on your homeowner's insurance.
We don't think it's going to happen to us again. I'm just saying, on behalf of the other citizens of Salem, maybe you should be aware. Maybe they want to talk to the city. No.
Well, just made them aware, so we appreciate the call and the question. That's helpful. Have a great day. Thank you. We're going to go back to that. What you're talking about, I&I, because those laterals, this is the pipes that come from your residence or your apartment, what have you, to the street. If they're old, sometimes they're compromised. And so stormwater or groundwater can get in them, and it floods the sewer system. So let's draw two lines here, Dave, okay? So the sewer system takes the yucky water, right? Our flushing water, and off it goes for treatment before it can go into the Willamette.
Correct.
But there's a whole other set of pipes that's the stormwater, and that is rainwater. That's the stuff that comes down your downspouts, runs off the streets, and it's just rainwater plus whatever it picks up, of course.
Right.
And that's just going to the river, non-treated.
That just goes to the creeks and ultimately to the river, and that's why we always say don't be pouring stuff down. Don't be pouring motor oil or paint or anything down, because that's going directly into the creeks and the rivers.
Yeah. I remember back in the 70s, we used to change our oil and just run it down.
Yeah.
I always poured it in the driveway. It kept the dust down.
Nice.
There you go.
Well, we had a rock driveway.
All right. At any rate, those are two different systems. But in some of the older areas of town, you have either they're combined, they're hooked somehow and they shouldn't be, or they are compromised and water's getting in. Inflow and infiltration. It's gushing all the stormwater, which is rainwater, into, and it's being forced to being treated.
Into the sewer. And sometimes our own pipes are just old, and start to shift or start to get holes in them. Sewage is a very, a lot of our big sewer mains are concrete, and sewage is really rough on concrete, so it will eat through the concrete at some point. Now, it's many years, but it's nasty stuff. So so we know we get a lot of INI, a lot of inflow infiltration, because in the summer times we treat about 30 to 35 million gallons a day at the Willow Lake wastewater treatment plant. And in the winter, after rain events, we can get up to 150, 200 million gallons. Wow. So we know that people aren't going to the bathroom more in the winter.
Right.
So we know that that is, you know, rainwater or groundwater getting into the sewer. You know, the big question is, well, why don't you fix it? Well, we did some estimates a few years back, and to do a massive fix would be on the order of $300 million. So, you know, that's just unaffordable. So what we've done over time is increase the capacity of the wastewater treatment plant. You know, people that go drive by River Road Park across from Fred Meyer mm-hmm. will see the green building. That building treats up to 50 million gallons of sewer during rain events. So it's a satellite facility to help us address that issue. 50 million cheaper than 300 million.
Right.
Wow. But still, long term, I mean, if we get everybody to change the laterals out, that would be extraordinary. We wouldn't need as much, anywhere near as much capacity.
Right.
If we weren't trying to treat right. stormwater.
Right. One $10,000 hit at a time for the laterals.
A poor caller. Wow. That is a lot of pipe.
That's a painful thing.
That's a big job.
I feel him because that's a big deal.
And the reason it failed, basically bad construction?
No, they get old. It settles, you know, over time or, you know, that's usually the case, you know, at some point.
Because most of those are put in by developers. When they create the streets and
when your house is built,
substructure for the housing development
right.
or the street.
Well, the pipe, and then when the house is built, you put in your lateral, and over time, you know, they're shifting. You know, the ground shifts, or there's you know, but there's rain events, whatever happens, and at some point it cracks, or roots get in them,
yeah.
and it fails it, and then at some point you have to repair it, and it is $10,000 is about right.
Ouch!
Yeah, it's very expensive.
We're going through that right now where I am building a house, and there's an old storm water system, and it is full of roots, and it's not draining, and it's flooding the property.
Because the roots will go where the water is.
Where there's water.
That's right.
And they can collapse if they're. We don't use concrete anymore, right? So we're using ABS
right.
or some sort of plastic.
Right.
All right. So all that water's coming. We talked about that. And now we're done with the water. And off it goes down our shower, down our sink, down our toity, right? And off it goes in these pipe systems, some newer than older. And off to Kaiser. We ship it all to Kaiser. How about that, Kaiser?
Right.
We ship our Salem ships.
Because we have outstanding sewer treatment.
Yeah, anyway, so this happens to be where the plant is.
Right, so Willow Lake was built in 1962, and it's the end of the line. It's the end of the plumbing.
Okay.
You know, Mr. Gravity helps us with sewer, so it's all moving by gravity. We have to lift it every now and then, you know, when in the flatter parts of town. But it's all running by gravity to Willow Lake, and that is a sewage treatment plant is a factory. And the inputs are raw sewage and energy. And what comes out are methane gas, biosolids that can be used by farmers, and clean water.
What do you do with the biosolids?
We give it to farmers to
wow.
use. Yeah, so you can use it to grow sod, or you can use it to grow food that an animal will eat. And then we can eat the animal, but we cannot eat the crops that are grown directly from biosolids.
And just to be clear, this is already, they're biosolids that have been through a process.
It's all treated.
Yeah.
It's all treated. I mean, you can buy biosolids at Lowe's.
Right.
You know, it's usually called milorganite. It's same thing. So they're treated. They're in a steady state. They don't smell bad or anything. It's a great fertilizer.
What happens to the methane gas?
Well, we use some of it to create energy back into the plant. Unfortunately, we have to flare a lot of it. But we will, in January, we will break ground on a new cogeneration engine that, when completed, we will be able to use 100% of the methane to generate energy back into the sewage treatment plant. And we think we'll be able to generate somewhere between 50 and 75% of all the energy that we use.
Wow.
And the heat that we need, because we got to keep our bugs happy that treat our sewage. Back in, so it's a great thing, and I will say that Energy Trust, it's a $10 million project. Energy Trust gave us a $3 million grant, and
wow.
PGE gave us a $3 million grant, and the Department of Energy, Oregon Department of Energy, gave us like a $300,000 grant. So City of Salem ratepayers are only on the hook for a third of that project,
and they get to enjoy the savings.
Exactly.
Because ultimately, that's going to lower the cost of operations.
Exactly right.
All right. So you get the raw sewage. You're treating it. The bugs are eating it. You create some methane. We're to turn that into energy. You get some biosolids, and the farmers go use that, and they don't have to buy that. Right. Or they don't have to, you know.
In fact, we pay them a little bit.
It's, yeah. Make this go
there's
away.
A regulatory process. So
and ultimately, then there's water again.
And then it's clean water back into the Willamette.
Wow.
Yeah. And then the fish can drink the water. They live in the water, rather.
And right? You could eat the fish.
There's kind of an ugly side to that. You know, so people, we like our coffee, right? Mm-hmm. Well, our process doesn't treat for caffeine. So our discharge water is heavily caffeinated. We take drugs, right? We take hormones. We can't treat for that. So that ends up in the water. So there are some issues. There are some evolving issues as we're getting better at testing the water. There's some issues. So the water's clean and it's then gets diluted. But you know, we as humans do things, and all we're doing is treating human waste. Mm-hmm. But there's some things that we don't quite know how to treat for yet. So the fish are never sleep.
And they probably never get sick. You know, we're flushing all those antibiotics and everything else, and they're probably very happy fish as we're flushing through the remnants of all our antidepressants here in the Northwest. Right? We got happy insomniac fish. Okay, you're listening to Peter Fernandez as our guest in studio today. He's Public Works Director for the City of Salem. This is Brent DeHart along with Dave Bourne, and we'll be right back on KYKN 1430. Salem is listening.
Newsmakers continues with Brent DeHart and Dave Bourne on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
I'm going to tell you a story.
A good song.
Excellent choice there, Dave. Welcome back to Newsmakers. This is Brent DeHart along with Dave Bourne on KYKN, where at noons every weekday we talk about local topics and local individuals, initiatives, institutions, and we've got Peter Fernandez in the studio with us today. And Peter is telling us all things Public Works Department of the City of Salem. Now, if you live in Kaiser, they have their own Public Works Department, right?
They do.
And if you live in the county, they have their own Public Works Department and so forth. So Peter can tell us a lot about water and sewer, especially since we provide a lot of water and a lot of sewer services that are not don't just go to the City of Salem residents. Thank you for being here today.
It's my pleasure.
I want to circle back a little bit. We're talking about the bond measure from 2008. It was $100 million. You got 65 projects done. A lot of things that you've seen done in the community from the improvement in West Salem at Wallace and, is it Orchard Heights?
Wallace and Glen Creek.
Glen Creek and Market in Lancaster, for goodness sakes. South Commercial at Kubler.
The Brent DeHart Project, Skyline. Skyline Road Improvement.
Road South.
Yes. Thank you, Councilor DeHart.
A bunch of things resurfacing downtown. A lot of those things. Got done through that bond measure. What's the next greatest need, notwithstanding the bridge, which we don't have time to talk about? Notwithstanding the bridge, what's the next greatest need for the next streets and bridges bond?
Sure.
Are all of our bridges updated?
No. We have a lot of bridge work that we need to do. I think the biggest need that's coming up, the kind of the marquee project for future bond issue, would be improving McGillcrest.
Oh.
You know, we've been working hard, which I know is a project that's near and dear to your heart.
Yes, it is.
We've been working hard on the design. We've been scraping together money to purchase right of way. We've been chasing federal funding for it. Congressman Schrader has been very, very helpful, very supportive of our two senators. But you know, there isn't a lot of pork. Pork is part of grant program, so those monies are hard to get. But that's a very expensive project. The whole road has to come out and has to be lifted 2 feet because it's in a floodway. So we look forward to that project. Then after that, there's just needs everywhere. You know, we get calls all the time that hey, people are walking on Fisher Road and there's no sidewalk, and we've had tragedies. You know, so that's one. Mm-hmm. More of Hawthorne. You know, more Pringle Road is an example. You know, there's kids my kids went to junior high school at Leslie 10 years ago, 12 years ago, and I would drive them to school and see kids walking the streets, like, my God, we got to fix this. Well, it's still not fixed.
Oh my.
You know, so it's just, you know, it's just money that that we need. And unfortunately, the city has a lot of needs. So what the voters may see before another streets and bridges bond measure is the need for new fire equipment.
Right.
You know, that was done 15 years ago. The trucks get old. There's a need for, you know, we passed the library bond. We passed the police bond. You know, City Hall needs some fixing. It's 40 years old. The mortgage is paid, but it needs some work.
Speaking of the mortgage, the streets and bridges bonds, how long were those bonds?
Those were three sets of 15. So some of I think the first sale was in 2009.
Yeah.
So we're getting close to paying off the first set. And
I know when the fire bond was passed in 07, there had been some other debts of the city of Salem that were retiring.
Right.
And so people didn't even see an increase in their property tax bill because that debt was retiring.
Good
planning. Frankly, with all the numbers we've seen, $25 million, 24 and change, for the new stations that we got, all new stations and all new rolling stock, as they say, every fire station, fire engine and a piece of equipment was replaced back then and so
right.
forth. So that seemed like a relative bargain. So anyway, it's public safety, so I favor that. Another thing I want to talk about is the streetlights, because I know it was a couple of years ago, if that, we went through a couple cycles of trying to approve a street light, neighborhood streetlight improvement
program. A streetlight utility.
Yeah,
so we had... we were in dire straits financially on the transportation side, which is not a utility that we rely on the state gas taxes for that. And we were paying for the streetlights with the gas tax money. And this was a way to basically save the transportation fund $1.2 million, which is what we were paying for, and continue to pay in electricity. So for $2.65 a month per house, we generate about $2 million a year. We were able to relamp all of our street lights, so they're all LED.
Every light in Salem lights up the street is an LED now.
Every single street light is an LED.
You're saving the earth.
We are saving the earth.
Saving the planet right there.
So,
okay.
And with the money that we're saving, we are now installing street lights in neighborhoods that want them but don't have them, and replacing poles as they get old. So it's a great program. We promised the council that we wouldn't come back for a rate increase for at least 5 to 7 years. I just looked at the forecast, and I think we're going to be able to make it to 10 years
wow.
before Peter Fernandez shows up at council and says, I need another 50 cents a month.
Still there. Okay, so that's great. And then the money, that it's kind of a shell game because you're still collecting the money. They're going to shift it to going to sidewalks and roads, right?
That's correct.
All right.
That's correct.
We're running
the
out
needs
of time
are endless.
Here today, but I'd like you to come back because I'd like to talk about transportation system and the roads and the sidewalks and so forth. We really just handled liquid stuff today for the
and
most
lighting,
part.
And lighting, yeah.
And now some lighting. So
don't
you come back
parks.
After the holiday.
I want to talk about
oh,
parks, too.
The parks. So if,
that's us, too.
You do a lot.
We're going to come back, yeah. Huge department. We owe it all to Peter Fernandez. Peter Fernandez is the Public Works Director of the City of Salem. If they have issues for any of these divisions, they can call a service line, right? It's on the website. cityofsalem.net.
Yeah. Let me throw it out. 503-588-6311. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, somebody will pick up the phone, any kind of public works.
Do that with your radio voice. Give us a good
503-588-6311.
Thank you very much, Peter. It's been great. It is a beautiful Mid-Valley day. I hope you're all having a great day, and thank you for joining us on Newsmakers 1430 KYKN, here with Brent and Dave. Salem is listening.
This has been Newsmakers with Brent DeHart and Dave Bourne, presented by Les Schwab Tires on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.